The miners, look, it's their time. I often like frown upon them. They're over long periods of time. They get destroyed by gold, but now is their time. Patrick, how are you?
Hi, Andy. I'm doing good.
Thank you so much for making the time for me today. Fun story, and you are way too humble to admit this, but the first time I had you on, you were saying how silver was looking great, looking about to break out. As soon as I dropped that interview, I was getting all these comments. Silver's breaking out. So timing was great. All of your Twitter and X feed now, you've been monitoring very closely the technical setup of both gold and silver. So let's talk about that. Let's start actually with gold first, and then we'll pivot to silver. So what are your indicators telling you about gold?
Okay. Well, it all depends on the time frame, but gold on all time frames is bullish. So bullish is above inclining moving averages, no matter what the length of your moving average is. So I could show you guys a chart there. So yeah, let's go for gold, guys, because there's a wide range of people, right, listening to your channel. There's some are stackers that they buy no matter what the price is, but they're happy to know, like, you know, that the price is going up from their entry point. Sometimes you have traders where when you show them a yearly chart, yeah, great, Patrick. It's break out on the yearly chart, but when do I take profits, you know, in the shorter time frames? So right. this is like the main questions we get. So look, here's the gold chart. I'll put on the yearly. I'll go down for you guys. So that's the yearly chart for gold above the 12-year moving average, above the 36-year moving average, above. So that thing is it's in an uptrend. It broke out of a pull flag here, pull flag breakout last year. And now what it's doing, it's completing that measure move. Let me get a measuring tool for you guys. So it depends where you started, but here's a non-greedy. So gold, guys, you know, it's getting in that strike zone. So we, like, for our members on the website there, we warn them about them. You know, there's like everybody wants to pinpoint exactly where the top is, but the word top, again, you only know in hindsight it was a top. What you can know before you get to a potential top is, are the characteristics of the price showcasing that there's a possibility that there's a correction or something that's going to happen, right? That's, am I stretched from the moving average? It's mathematical. Am I completing measured moves, right? The energy in consolidate, it's the energy out. Once you get reaching those targets, expecting to really like keep going up and up and up, it's possible. But those are areas where you possibly could get corrections. Like here in the 2000s, that crazy run there, like, you know, the yearly chart just went up and up and up. So on the smaller time frames, there were huge corrections here. And I'm going to zoom in on the gold chart to show you that. But on the higher time frame, it was just nonstop there. What I could do is I'll put it on the, not the futures, so I get more data, remove drawings. So you see all that energy here, all that energy going to that pull flag here from the 1970s. So here was a consolidation area, energy in, huge correction, energy out, and that was pretty much the target here. Big picture, bullish. Now I could zoom in, you could look on the quarterly chart, reset chart view. Still the same thing, guys, look, but you're getting stretched there on this time frame. Even here, pull flag. I'll zoom in really close for you guys. Look there. 2750, 2800. Maybe sometimes you overshoot on the smart time frames, right? You get a wick, but by the end of the quarter, it was there. So on the yearly, it looks close to, to stalling. On the quarterly also, let's go on the monthly chart. Same deal with the monthly chart. This measured move here is still all the way there. You're very close to it. It's not that it can't keep going up, but look, I'll here at the bottom pane, I have distance from moving average. So essentially that's my FOMO or profit taking guide of selling into strength. Or right here, this is historical. So look, historically, even it's like a range. When gold is 40% above its 36-month moving average, when it's 55% above its 36 moving average, it's an area where often you stall a little while. Whether it corrects, like a big correction here I'm going to highlight it for you guys. Here was a 2008 correction. You see here why we went 55%, then either get a big correction, sometimes it's just a sideways correction. But look where we are now. We're here with the 2020 peak. When we hit that, gold went sideways for three years, let the three-year moving average catch up. Look, this is the fuel in the gas tank. Here's one shot. And if it really goes bonkers, then yes, it maybe have an outlier chance. But the low risk entry for gold was somewhere down here, right? So it's getting stretched again, guys. It's getting stretched. I could go in all the way to the daily chart, reset chart view, and I could do the same exercise, remove drawings, same thing. Look at that. Here's where we are now. So you see the bulk of the distance from moving average is within a range, but the further you're away from it, you see there's a lot of touches, but here I'm farther away. So these are beginning to be outlier chances, right? It's from a probabilistic, from each of those months or each of those days, how many times was I able to get back above this line? Over all the sample, not that much, right? Here you did it once, twice, here you stalled here you're above. Now we're there. So even on the daily chart right now, we're at a potential for correction. And I'll show you even here a much shorter term pull flag. Pull, explosion.
Yep.
And look at that. It's like we're there. Yep. It's a question of probabilities, you know. It's not about, so that's why sometimes once you start looking at that, how you're stretched, then you're able to see, and I don't want to say catch those tops, but look, this is it. All important tops always start with a correction on the smart time frame. So if I'm on the daily chart and this does start to correct here, it should be bullish because the higher time frames are pushing upwards. But what if it starts failing and then starts cascading? And then in hindsight, we'll know that it was a top. But this could be the top, but right now it looks like a correction to let the moving average catch up. I'm too stretched, like from the 36-day moving average. It's like it's begging for a correction. And as soon as the momentum breaks down, we're below that line, then that's the market confirming, okay, we're in a correction. All you have to do now, short-term traders, all you have to do is wait. They'll eventually, there'll be a pattern like this that's going to morph into existence, some type of flag. And once it breaks out, once it's above that breakout line, then you have another new low-risk entry point, right? Like this here, this one was tight. It's rinse and repeat. So that's, I hope this gives some value there to your viewers. Gold starting to get stretched. Is it begging for a correction consolidation? 100%. It could start happening. And it's hard to say this stuff when everybody's going crazy because the price going up and people don't want to hear that, right? I know when I do a chart, like I talk about this, I get less views, less likes. You know, people want to keep hearing the bullish targets. But guys, it's the nature of the beast. If I'm talking about these crazy end game targets of whatever, $8,000 gold or like big targets, it's because the price on the short time frame went so bonkers, it got my attention. It's making those higher time frame charts look great, but you got to expect that these are cycles on the daily chart, right? You got to expect that there'll be some type of reset where the moving average catches up. And this is another tidbit. Corrections happen two ways or a combination. It's either price goes down and it corrects and lets the moving average catch up, or time. If the price just goes sideways and the moving average catches up, or sometimes it's a combination of both, right? So the correction, now people are scared. Well, is it going to go low? Am I going to get stopped out? But sometimes it could just be just a nice little grind sideways. And then after that, you're off to the races.
Yeah. Thank you actually for that. I guess it's a different view. And actually I do agree with that. If you would, it's one of the things you said, it's like, on your Twitter feed, it's like, I'm going to paraphrase, but it's not to chase. We're still early. So there's no reason to go chasing, if you would, price, if you would. And that you're not too late, I guess, is what you're, and now you're just really looking, if you're bullish, you're looking for an entry point. You just don't really want to chase that. Did I paraphrase that correctly?
Yes. So each of those elements are true depending on the time frame. So the bull run practically hasn't started, the bull era. The bull market has started for a while, but the bull era, you know, you have to outperform SPX. On the big time frame, it's like nobody's late because it barely has started. Now,
right.
If somebody wants to enter based on the higher time frame, he could enter now and say, well, I'm in now because it's just starting. But if he's entering now based on the larger time frame, but he over positions and he levers up and his sell stop super close, well, there's a high likelihood right now that anybody entering today, like I showed you, is begging for a correction, maybe on the daily chart, even maybe the weekly, we're running out of steam, even the monthly maybe is going to need a more important correction. So you're entering on the shorter time frames close to a top or a potential, you know, place where it consolidate. But if you zoom out on the higher time frame, that means practically nothing. If your sell stop's super far away or you have no sell stop, you're a stacker, if you're looking at the big, big picture, like your investment vision is 5 years, 8 years, it's like,
who cares?
It's nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, people got to decide before they enter the trade, well, I enter now, but they have to accept that there could be a correction right now. It could start going down as of today. And so use time frames. We do it all the time there. It's called just multi-time frame analysis. Understand where you are. Sometimes you want to time it perfect, and it does happen where the yearly defined breakout matches with a reset. You know, like if we would have talked about this chart on the daily chart maybe a week ago when it didn't do that final move, then people, oh, cool, the daily chart has reset. Maybe the weekly chart also has reset. And I'm in a big picture where the party isn't having started. Then you get a little bit better timing. You get in a few hundred dollars lower, or you have less chance of emotional erosion by, it's hard when somebody enters a trade and the price right away starts going down. About the top. Well, you could avoid that sometimes if you wait for the daily cycles to reset a little bit, and you have less chances of getting triggered out if you wait for that, you know, that correction to happen to let the moving average catch up. But it's a choice, people. Some people, what they could do is, of course, not financial advice. Let's say they want to take a position. Well, they say, okay, I'll take half now, just in case it rips higher. And I'll take the other half after this correction ends and it consolidates and goes back up. You know, you could do some strategies to layer in to, you don't have to put everything right now because it's tough after that. Imagine it starts correcting now and it goes down 5-6%. It's like, oh man, I could have gotten cheaper. I could have bought more ounces. You start second guessing yourself. So step number one, understand your framework, understand your vision, your scope. And then after that, you'll be able to live with the decision that you respected your trading framework.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And also, let me just emphasize, we don't, and you said this many times, we don't know the future for sure. All we can get is just a perspective, a certain perspective, and just know your perspective. Also, a correction doesn't mean it has to go down. It can just grind in sideways. And then really just last is corrections are very healthy, very, very healthy in bull markets. So just remember that.
Well, the trader is the one who buy options, they're on time delay. They want it to rocket. They don't care about the damage that a melt-up does, because a parabolic melt-up, it breaks the chart. It's flat and you ride it, but a true parabolic, Fock curve on the log scale that goes up like the 1980s or 2011, it breaks the chart. It needs time to heal, because once it goes up, all that euphoria, then it goes down, then it goes back up, creates a Necco bubble, a lower high, creates a top pattern. It's damage. It's like uranium did it a little while back. And then you need to heal from that. So the best is just to go up like the SPX 3%, go down 0.25%, go up 1%. Like do some just a slow grind up. That's emotionally not draining. It's boring, but it creates a trend that's sustainable, right? Because if we go too high too fast, remember silver squeeze, too high too fast, at resistance, stretch from moving averages. It was just a recipe for the chart there to correct longer than if we would have just went up at a slower pace.
Got it. Speaking of silver, let's talk about silver. You thought silver on your Twitter feed is looking really good. So let's look at a chart of silver.
Yes. Let's do it. XAG, USD, you know me. So Silver yearly chart, move drawings, reset chart view. Goodness, it's like, ooh, Ichimoku cloud. It's looking pretty good, guys, because this is the silver. Look, on the yearly chart, I put a line chart here. It's not, I don't care about $50. It's like it didn't stay there long, you know? If I put it on the line chart, so that means on the yearly close basis, look where silver price is right now. It's above. It's never been that high. If it closes here, that's its yearly close highest ever. Like, forget 50. Right now, this for me, the $28, $29 level is the most important. And in three months, we're going to get some type of a confirmation if silver is able to close above this. It's, we're there. So that for me, silver, which is very, you know what I should show? I want to show my, where is my, here, this one here. I want to show this chart that I posted on Twitter today. This is why it's different this time for silver. It's not like it's different. The TA is different. It's the setup's different than in the 1980s. The 1980s, it had to move up 600%. It was, so on this is from moving average, super stretch. It went bonkers. Again, just like we said there, crazy euphoria breaks a chart. That melt up. And there was a melt up even lower, right? From 1970 all the way to 1974, 75 went crazy sideways, then went up. That entire move, I think it was 1500% or something like that. That created damage, so much damage that silver went sideways for, you know, 20 years after that. Yeah. Then we had the 2001 to 2011-12 run. It moved up over 500%. And that was a lot of energy, stretch from moving averages, outperforming SPX for too long, then capital rotation where it was time for SPX, you know, to get the upper hand. That created, it validated this resistance right here. All this congestion area, $28, $29 on a yearly basis. That was it. But look at the difference now. Now the price went down. Not that down. It went down all the way. Didn't go all the way back down. So it only needed 100% to get back here. So from the bottom here all the way to 220, it only took 100%. So distance from moving average was stretched, but way not as stretched as it was in the 70s. Not as stretched as it was in the 2000s. Much less stretch. And that's why people love cup and handles. Whatever you want to call this, it's a higher low. Higher low means you're closer to your breakout line than you were before. And not only that, it just required a little bit, much less energy than before. So that energy is still, you know, bottling up. For 4 years, we've been hogging that line. 4 years. Mm-hmm. Silver has closed, you know, 25 here at 28, 25, 24. Coiled and tight. And that time created this bigger base now. So we have a 4 year base here. If you include the 2011, we have a 11, 12, 13 year base. And if you include the whole pattern, that's one, like one crazy once in a lifetime type of chart pattern that, you know, if we see this break out there, it's like, that's the only time we're never like, I don't know. We're not going to see these 40, 50 year chart patterns break out like every day, right? You need that much amount of time. So that is super meaningful. And look, pull flag. Remember I showed you those pull flags there. Once they get close to their targets, they start, you know, begging for a correction. But this is just the initial first candle out of that pull flag. So we had the bottom here, all the way here, 4 year pull, 4 year flag. This would be, nobody's late because this could only get confirmed on December 31st. That's insane. So I'm not saying traders can't go in now. There's breakouts, you know, on the monthly chart. Like, there's a whole bunch of breakouts happening for silver, but this is once in a lifetime, big picture stuff. If ever silver is able to close solidly above that 20, 27, 28 line, but even more, if it's able to close above 31 convincingly, let's say closes the year, I don't know, 32 and a half, 33. That is insane. It enacts the targets of that pull target. So that can bring us maybe to 40, 50. And then after that, once it consolidates a little bit, then we'll be getting the bigger targets, right? Then it'll be this flag here, right? Pull, flag, then add it on top. Then you start talking about these crazy targets, you know, the triple digit silver. And again, just to mitigate people's expectations, that is a yearly chart. Silver is stretched on the daily chart for sure, begging for correction. It's getting stretched on the weekly. There's not much room left on the monthly. But you need those smaller timeframes to be stretched for that yearly chart to look great, for that yearly chart to look like it's full, it's about to break out. So right now, maybe get a good correction before the year end. But the most important part was, it would be probably to get the correction out of the way sooner than later. So we still have December, whatever the correction is happening now, we still have December to close up strong once again and get that yearly close above that line. Because if it doesn't happen this year and the sellers come in and bring it below whatever, $28, and we have a wick on top, that means we have to wait another year before we get right. that confirmed breakout. But we just have like smart timeframes, they'll have their breakout, but to get that paradigm shift historical breakout, we're going to have to wait another year, man. It's like... Okay. It's tough, right? You're like, yeah. We're so close now. Yeah. The price is above, it's not below. So it's the burden right now is on the bears to bring that thing down. It's not on the bulls. The bulls brought it here. The bears now have to knock it down. So do we get that recession, that fear, that the GFC 2008 crash before the end of the year? If we don't, it's looking really good for silver, for gold. It's just looking awesome there. But those are we've covered everything. Like we have the big picture setup, and hopefully your viewers start to grasp the shorter term setups. You know, it's like a sine wave.
Yep.
That oscillates slower on the bigger time frame, and you have time to do many, many fart beats on the smart time frames. And as long as you understand that, then your emotional capital erosion, it's much less, right? You know what to expect. It's like a boxer who goes into sparring and he's never done it before, he's going to go on an adrenaline rush, use all his energy up, and he won't even be able to land one punch. He's going to fall. Cool. But if you're used to it, your mental's prepared and you've practiced a lot, then when you go in the gym in the sparring ring, you're not going to drain your emotional capital, right? So you have to understand you have to know what to expect. And once you do that, there's a pullback on the smart time frames. I'm good. I expected that. After my entry, the price would go down 5%. I don't care. I expected it.
Yep. Excellent. Okay. If you could talk just briefly about GDX and maybe GDXJ, just where are they on the charts? I was looking at them the other day, but before I say anything, I'd love to have your opinion.
All right, let's do it. Let's pop up the chart. Always the chart. You need the JDX. Well, look, I could put JDX, JDXJ. It's all the same. I'll show you. It's the capital flows, and I'll show you another trick. Hello, candles. Okay, reset chart view. Okay, so here's JDX. I'm going to overlay JDXJ. New price scale. I'll put it on the LOD. Look, it's... These charts are... JDXJ, they're practically the same there, these charts.
Yeah.
And I could overlay ASA, which is one of my favorites because it has data going back all the way to the late 60s. Uh-huh. As a chart trader, you always want data. And here's the ASA chart. So here I have ASA.
They're following. They're remarkably.
Oh, yeah. And this is the thing, guys. It's so funny because I could overlay even SIL, SILJ. So I could take an index of a whole bunch of crappy miners. And once the capital flows go in, SILJ... It's weird. People say it's the juniors, but there's still some, like there's a, I think there's,
yeah, I get it.
There's big companies in there, but the right. capital flows going in that entire sector. It's carving out these charts. So whether you're in JDXJ or JDX or SILJ or ASA, it's like, it doesn't matter much. It doesn't matter the components, what miners are in there or not. The charts, if one goes up, they all go up. So is it the management? Is it because of the management that's good that these charts are going up or down? I would argue that it's more because it's when the money starts going into that.
Yep.
Yes, it goes in that sector. But I'll look at just the JDX there for as it's gone. Okay, here. Man, yeah, JDX on its own chart. I'm going to use this line here. Looking pretty sweet. Actually had a breakout out of this pull flag. Here's a non-greedy... there's still some room to run there for JDX. Yeah. And I'll show you what the best macro driver I found for the miners. So this is probably the first flag. Probably have a small consolidation here. And then we're probably going to enact this bigger move here that's going to go on top over here. So that's probably step one is this move here. And then we're probably going to have a second step that brings it back to all-time highs. So that for me would be my roadmap for JDX, JDXJ. Right now, up, there's still some room. Correction. Mm-hmm. If that correction doesn't cascade into a depression or like something worse, then after that, then we're going back to all-time highs. I'll show you this chart. I'll show you this chart of the miners and jobless in unemployment. If I could just scroll down. Unemployment shouldn't be too far. Unemployment. Man, I do so many charts, Andy. I have to stop. Maybe I should stop doing all this. It's crazy. Okay, here, this one. All right. Bottom pane. This one here, I don't know what color, pink or purple. I'm colorblind. So what color do you see on this one there?
Pinkish reddish. Yeah.
Okay. So tough for me. So pinkish red is the ASA chart, the one we just covered, right? On top is unemployment, US unemployment rate. And here is the 7-year rate of change for unemployment. How fast it explodes and comes back down. Look at the ASA chart. The miners love it. It's kind of sad, but the miners love it when unemployment rate starts creeping up. And that's what's been happening.
Interesting.
Unemployment here goes up, miners go up. Unemployment starts going up and the miners go up. Pretty much, even here, see, look, it went up. Here in the 70s went up. And look, it tracks, not always perfectly, but there's some correlation there. I'm not saying it's a cause, but there's correlation here. You could fit in the story. Like sometimes I heard this guy say, the miner is going to go up because if unemployment is going up, we could be in disinflation. So energy costs are going down. So the miners, their profits going to look better, right? Because they're energy intensive. Like you could fit in any type of story behind it to make it make sense. And there's some, of course, like, you know, it appeals to me that narrative, but rising unemployment, the miners love it. That's why you got to be bullish, because the setup here, the unemployment is not high and winding down. It's curving up. And every single time it's curved up this much, it's always practically double the unemployment there. I haven't seen anywhere. I did another chart. I haven't seen anywhere else where after unemployment goes up at this angle for this much off a bottom that it just stopped there and turned back down. There's always like, you know, I'm expecting at least the unemployment to double from here. And the miners love that. Initially, they just love it. If there's too much, like a 2008 crisis, it gets dragged down. So this is, when you add that on top, just the miners chart, it looks bullish, it's breaking out. Then you said the unemployment. So from a macroeconomic perspective, it's that also supporting,
right?
The miners love it historically going up. So the miners often generally just terrible. But if there was a time for them to do good, it's right now.
Right.
This is their time right now. Over long bull runs, the metal, once they do their initial moves and outperform the metals usually do much better than the miners. It's like, right. Unless you choose, then the indices of the miners, you of course could choose like some high quality miners, great looking charts that will be better than the index of them. But the index does good at the beginning, and then after that, gold, you know, the gold, silver, they're better over the entirety of the bull run. But yeah, the miners, look, it's their time. I often like frown upon them. They're over long periods of time, they get destroyed by gold, but now is their time.
Wow.
If that, you know, shots that's, now.
This is great, great charts and great, great insight. Patrick, I know you're busy. I'm going to let you go. If people want to do business with you or want your product, and I've become a huge fan over the 6 months I've gotten to know you. How do they find you, and how do they reach out to you?
Yes. Well, guys, BatCharts1 on Twitter, get all that stuff. But seriously, if you want the, like, you know, the nuanced analysis and to communicate with us, you know, through our website, northstarbatcharts.com, guys, that's the place to be. So come and see us at the website, or else join up and subscribe, follow us on Twitter. And that's also good, guys.
Yeah. No. And again, Patrick is paying me nothing for this. This is just me believing in Patrick and the product. Great, great stuff. Thank you, Patrick. And thank you so much for your kindness and coming in on the fly while stuff was really moving and breaking out.
Yes, it's my pleasure, Andy. Hopefully it gives their value there to all your viewers.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right.